as I listen to friends and you talk to the world, and there's this beautiful story in the Bible, you know, and it's not about doctrine, it's not about all these things, the rules. It's about relationship. It's about what's really important. And I've shared this story before, and I'm not lazy doing it again. It comes up, and this is a story I've got to tell. Because we have friends out there who don't want a relationship with Jesus. There's too many rules. The church is too churchy. They sing the songs we don't like. That song, that was 1,400 years old we sang. So that guy, St. John's of Damascus, he wrote that song, the Lift the Strain, that one. And he wrote it, but did you hear the lyrics? He knew what was going on. Back in the year 700, he knew about the Trinity. He knew about Moses. He read the scriptures. He's been keeping the faith this long. And so it's a wonderful song. What we don't like about church, they say, but this is about a relationship with Jesus. It's you and him. It's not you, me, and him. It's you and him. It's a neat thing. And let's hear about the tenderness, the love of Jesus has for this woman. And we can all look at this woman and say, we're not that bad, right? Is that what we think? We can think that. We're not as bad as her. You must really love me. Let's hear about this woman. She's been around. In John chapter 3, a couple weeks ago, we talked about that night where Jesus goes to Jerusalem for a celebration. And there he meets that man named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is a very powerful man, a very rich man. He's a Pharisee. He's a keeper of the law. He's one of the separate ones. He's part of the Sanhedrin, those that can judge, those that can hold life and death in their hands. He's one of these judges. And so he wants to talk to Jesus, and he's very interested in what Jesus has to say, but he can't come in the day. He has to come at night in secret because we know what happens in the dark, nothing good, right? Anyone read the Cecil Whig? What happens at 3 o'clock in the morning in Cecil County? Anything good? Never anything good. It's like, whoa, somebody was arrested and they were 3 o'clock in the morning. Stay in bed. That's a safe place to be. In my king-size bed from Cape Cod Furniture. Love that thing. I'm always endorsing it, you know. So Jerry used to own Cape Cod Furniture. You guys remember that? That place was nice. No lie. I'm not pandering. Good night's sleep every night. Now I got a face to attach it when I lay my head down. Jerry, so glad to have you. So he comes at night when no one will see him. He won't get caught. And they're having the conversation about Jesus. He's talking about being a new birth and a new creation. And I was sent here to save the world. Because God loves you so much that he sent his only son to die for you. And so we know that Nicodemus, he doesn't state anything there, but we know that when Jesus is crucified, that he comes to get the body. And he brings 75 pounds of myrrh to put on Jesus' body. That's a lot. He loved Jesus. But things are getting hot. Once again, things are getting... His disciples are making such a commotion there. They're baptizing everyone. That things are happening too fast. This is just the first year of Jesus' ministry. He's not ready for this. He needs to go away and get away. So he decides, I need to go up to Galilee where I'm from. I'll go up there. People will find him there. But I'll go up there and I'll start my ministry. I'll start preaching to people. So he wants to get there. And there's two ways to get there, from Jerusalem all the way up to Galilee, to the Sea of Galilee up there. You can cross on one side of the Jordan River, on the east side, which is safe for the Jews, but the west side is not safe for the Jews. It goes to a place called Samaria. And you know I love my history, so hang on, here we go. We're backing up again, starting over. We know that the kingdom separated, right? King David brought it all together. And King Solomon united it even further and built the temple, and this was the place. And then Solomon has a terrible son, right? What was his name?
Herod.
Hmm?
Herod?
No. I told you, Rehoboam, and they've been taxing the people for all these years, right? Taxes are good because it helped to build the temple, right? Where everyone comes to worship, they love it, what a beautiful place. But and the people of the north said, you know, you've taxed us too much. Can you ease up on us? So he talked to his advisors, and they said, tax them more. And so they split, right? Taxes, still today, right? We still pay them, right? So how about those motor vehicle fees? Are they making you crazy yet? You go there, you're like, yikes. You can pay for 3 years for $600. Like, who wants $600? We'll do it 1 year at a time, you know. That car may not be running in 3 years. Where am I at? So Rehoboam, the kingdom splits between Judea and Israel. And they get their own kings, and they make their deals with other countries, and things fall apart. And they fell apart for the northern kingdom called Israel, which was paying tithes to Assyria, which is modern-day Iraq and Iran today. And so they stop paying their tithes, and so here comes Assyria to destroy them. They take the people back, and then they conquer and they intermarry with the Jews that are there, and they're called Samaritans. And Jews and Samaritans do not get along. And when Jesus tells us the story about the good Samaritan, you know it made everyone mad, because the Samaritan was better than the Jews, wasn't he? He's the one that did the right thing. He was better than the priest, and he was better than the Levites. And this is just an insult to them. How dare you say a Samaritan is better than us? Anyone who wasn't a Jew, you know what people who aren't Jews are worth to a Jewish person? They're worthy of the fires of Gehenna. We're meant to fuel that. That's what we're good for, according to a Jew. Not today, okay? This is because it's in the news. Have you heard things are going on, Jews and Muslims and all this? But that's not today. It's different today. And we won't talk about that today. It's a big story. We got to figure it out in Bible study, don't we? Why it's all happening? You come, we'll explain it. Joey and Larry and Rita know what the deal is, right? It splits, and this is a different country, it's a different people. But Jesus says, now Jesus learned that the Pharisees, chapter 4, had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. And John's okay with this, right? John knows that he's got to step away while Jesus takes over. It's about him. John's pretty humble, isn't he? It's all about him. I'm just telling you, he's coming. And so it wasn't Jesus who was baptizing, but his disciples. So there's a lot of happening. People know who Jesus is. He's like, not my time. I don't want attention right now. I don't want anyone to know who I am. I'm just going to go up to Galilee, near my hometown where people know me. Go stay at Peter's house, hang out with the fishermen. But to get there, the shortcut is to go through Samaria. And I love that Jesus doesn't take the long way, because Jesus is going to go where he dang well pleases, doesn't he? He's going to go through enemy territory because he's Jesus. Who's he got to be afraid of? He gets there. He stops in a town named Sychar. Uh-oh, here he goes again, telling you all about Sychar. You see, back in the book of Genesis, it was called by another name. It's called Shechem. Does anybody remember what happened in Shechem? Nothing good. Jacob's family comes by, and he's got 12 sons, and he's got one daughter. What's his daughter's name? Dinah. Good job. You win a 10-pound rabbit, baby. You've redeemed yourself. Whoever gets the next question gets it. We're going to keep doing that thing until the last person walks out with that bad boy. Dinah. So one of the prince of Shechem sees Dinah, and he, you know. So they don't like that. So their boys go in, and the brothers take care of Shechem, if you know what I mean. They go in there and do what they get their revenge. So this is a place, but it's called Sychar. And Jacob bought some land from them because they were in a position to negotiate after his sons got done with them. So he bought his plot of land, and they dug a well. And this well was not a living water. It wasn't a spring. It was a cistern. You know the difference between a cistern and a spring. A cistern simply gathers water. It's not the best. A spring is very nice. My mother has a spring, and it is the nastiest water. It tastes like what's it taste? Like pure metal. It hurts when you drink it. You're like, ow! You know, I want it softened. So it's a cistern. So it says here in verse 4, he had to go through Samaria. He didn't. He wanted to. There's somebody there that he knows of, doesn't he? So he's there. They came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jesus had given his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, he sat down by the well, and it was about noon. Then a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" This is crazy talk. How dare a Samaritan, a man talk to a woman in public? The Pharisees would pretend they didn't see women and hide their eyes from women in public and bump into things so as they would not look at them. They didn't want to see women in public. And you certainly didn't talk to a woman. I'm actually too friendly, as many of you notice, and I talk to everyone. So I'm in the supermarket, and I'm talking to the sushi lady, and my wife's like, "Do you know the sushi lady?" I'm like, "I do." And she's like, "Well, how do you know her?" I'm like, "Well, I come here and talk to her every day." You know the sushi lady over there? Her name is, it's a hard name to pronounce, but the husband's name is Jeet, and she's from that country, begins with M, Myanmar. This is just the lady. I talk to everyone. So people think you're kind of weird, you know, but I'm going to anyway, because I'm above reproach. I'm going to talk to you anyway. I'm going to talk to every young kid. People say, you're not supposed to talk to all the kids. I'm going to talk to every young kid I see. Don't I, Brooklyn? I'm coming. I come for you. I'm above reproach. I'm not being cocky. That's my intentions are good. You knew who taught me that? Jim Jones. That's what he said. And you know what else Jim Jones taught me? When you go in someone's house, you don't take shoes off. Because Jim Jones' shoes are clean and fancy. You know that? Probably pressed. Shoe shine. I don't take my shoes off when I go in your house. It's a floor. I'm walking in. I don't. You ever see the guys put the booties on? Nope. It's a floor. We walk on floors. Right, Fran? Now, if it's 6 inches of mud, you have some, you know. But these shoes, anywhere.
You need warm boots.
Yeah. Warm boots. Oh, almost. Well, cake ain't getting any. The candle's going to burn out before we get over there. So Jesus comes, and it's the middle of the day, and there's a woman coming. The middle of the day is the hottest part of the day, right? And no one's there. They usually get the water early in the morning or in the afternoon before the sun goes down. But she's in there in the middle of the day, and Jesus is sitting there. Where did the disciples go? They went to get a bite to eat. They hate Samaritans, but they're hungry. So things kind of change when you're hungry. I'll buy your food, but I don't want to associate with you. But I'll buy your goods. So they go into town to buy foods, and the Samaritan woman comes up, and Jesus says, "Would you give me a drink?" Because he's got nothing to get from the well, because she's bringing her bottles with her. She says, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman, and how can you ask me for a drink?" And Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And she's a faithful Samaritan, so they understood what he was talking about. He wants the living water, the cleaner one. The cistern is not quite fresh. It's okay. But living water is moving water. When it moves, it's cleaner. Did I tell you I went to Iceland? Yeah. Once, twice. I got to go to Iceland and stick my face in a creek and drink because it was a glacier fed, and it was like 38 degrees, and it was amazing. Let's go to the Elk Creek after lunch and stick our faces and we'll be dead by Tuesday, right? So. It's amazing when you can drink water as it comes out. We only did it the one time. We didn't want to press our luck, except when we went scuba diving. I drank about 17 gallons that day. Scuba diving's hard. You're sucking and it blows in the hole and you're just a mess. And it was, anyway, that's another day. I would like living water. But sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. And how can you get living water? It's just a cistern. He says, "Are you greater than our father?" Everyone knows Jacob. Jacob bought this land. He dug this well. And we've been here for 1,200 years at this well. 2,000 years, sorry. Been there a long time. Are you more powerful than Jacob or famous? And Jesus says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." This water is better than anything you've ever had. She's like Nicodemus, right? She just doesn't quite understand when Jesus says you got to be born again. And he's like, "I don't understand what you mean. What do you mean living water? Where are you going to get it? You don't even have a cup to draw it out with." So she says, "Give me this water so I won't have to come here every day in the middle of the day when no one else is coming. And why is she coming alone? Let's find out." And Jesus changes the subject and he says, "Well, go get your husband." And she says, "I don't have a husband." He says, "You're right." He says you've had five husbands. And the man you are with now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. So she's got to change the subject now. It's a little uncomfortable. He says, sir, I can see you're a prophet. Well, let's talk about something else. Because see the mountain over here? There's a mountain called Gerizim, and that we worship here. Because the Jews, they worship Mount Moriah, but we're not allowed to go there. But this mountain right here, we got our own temple here. We got our own Bible. This is the place. Let's change the subject. Not enough about me. What do you think? So let's talk about something else. And he says, there's coming a day when we'll no longer worship in Jerusalem, and we won't worship on Gerizim. Samaritans worship what you know. We worship what we know. For salvation, it comes from the Jews, even for you Samaritans. The time is coming, he says, and has come now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and truth. She says, I know the Messiah is coming, the one they call Christ, the anointed one. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. She knows he's supposed to come. She's read the book of Malachi. He's on his way. She knows from Deuteronomy 18 that God will raise up another one greater than him. She knows the stories. Isn't this great? She knows. She's expecting it. And he says, it's me. You see? It's me. It's the first one he tells. Like, he tells them first. He doesn't tell his own people. He tells this woman. At this time, the disciples come back, and they see her talking with this woman. Uh-oh, he shouldn't be doing this. But he is. So she leaves her jar, and she goes back into town, and she tells everyone what Jesus has said to her. And here's the thing. I'm running out of time, but think of this moment. Let's slow down and just... He's got the disciples, and it's good that they're gone. We don't need them right now. He's sitting. He knows what he's doing. He came here to Samaria for a reason, to the land of the enemy, to sit with this woman who's broken. And what does she want in life? She wants what other people can give her. She wants what all these men can maybe give her. And she finds that it's all fallen short. She wants something else. And Jesus offers living water. Not that you don't need other people, but you don't need them like you think you need them. You need him. You need a relationship, just you and Jesus. And we do this, we've been beating this thing like crazy in Bible study about Jesus being our groom to our bride and the excitement, the intimacy. And as men, Jared, that's kind of funny, isn't it? Like, am I going to be a bride? I look terrible in all in what, right? But like it. That we crave this relationship, don't we? And as good as it is with each other, right? As good as your relationship is and yours and Steve and everyone, isn't it wonderful? But he says there's something better that will fulfill you forever. It's what you crave, it's what you want, and he's going to give it to you. The best is yet to come. She's sitting at the well. She's thirsty. She's embarrassed. Nobody will hang out with her because she's the one who's been around five times. Aren't you glad we're better than her? No. And where does he go? He goes to see her. Isn't he great? Don't you want this? You and Jesus. Not the preacher, not the church. You and Jesus. Together. The love. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? The intimacy we crave, we'll have that. Amen to that? Whew, that's a good one, isn't it? Not for me, but the story, that's what we need.